This is The Guardian.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
The Galapagos Islands off the coast of Ecuador, home to species found nowhere else on the planet, and birthplace of Darwin's theory of evolution.
Ooh, a manta ray? A manta ray, wow.
Manta ray.
Eagle ray?
When Guardian Seascapes reporter Karen McVeigh visited the islands recently, she saw her fair share of incredible wildlife.
Oh, there's lots of pelicans now.
But there was something else in abundance too.
So what we can see here is a lot of Asian bottles, there's a lot of Peruvian bottles. We've just seen an iguana unable to cross the plastic because of the concentration of plastic.
Plastic has become the defining pollutant of our age. It's been found in the sea, air, food, and even inside us. But there's a cruel irony to how plastics are ending up in the Galapagos.
Currents actually are the source of life in the Galapagos, and the currents brought the species here at the beginning. But at the same time, now, in this globalized world, the currents also bring the plastics from everywhere to the coastlines of the Galapagos.
And it's not just a problem of rubbish. Annual production of plastics has boomed. In 2019, we made 460 million tonnes of the stuff. And that's set to double or even triple by 2050, eating up a fifth of the Earth's remaining carbon budget. But change could be on the horizon. Over the past week, in a conference centre in Ottawa, Canada, governments from around the world have been negotiating the most important environmental deal since the 2015 Paris Agreement on climate change, the Global Plastic Treaty. So today, we're visiting the Galapagos to see how our waste is changing life there and asking, can this treaty clean up the colossal and pervasive problem of plastic pollution? From The Guardian, I'm Madeleine Finlay, and this is Science Weekly. When Karen McVeigh, a reporter for The Guardian's Seascape series, which explores the state of our oceans, arrived in Galapagos, it was as beautiful as you'd expect it to be.
The Galapagos Islands is extremely pristine. It's a national park. It's very well protected. It's a UNESCO World Heritage Site, 97% of the island remain uninhabited. So biodiversity in all of those parts is relatively undisturbed and would be quite similar to what it was like in Charles Darwin's day when he landed on the islands 200 years ago. Animals kind of are so undisturbed that they don't fear humans. It feels like you're kind of living in the same space as them. There was lots of turtles where I was. They were kind of popping up in this very shallow water, almost like ladies swimming in a spa, you know, very gentle. And they were just kind of carrying on with their lives.
But as she explored more, she was struck by the reality of the situation the islands face.
As we went higher up the island, we saw these mounds of plastic pollution, which were really shocking. And one of the most shocking things was a marine iguana, a species that's not found anywhere else on the earth, sitting atop this mound of plastic, this kind of prehistoric looking animal on a very modern problem.
I asked Karen how it felt to witness that scene.
It felt really sad. It felt like a violation. It felt like two worlds were colliding. The natural world and the modern world, which the National Park has kind of made an attempt to keep out, but can't. And it keeps washing up. And one of the people that I was with, Mariana Vera, who works for Conservation International, described it as, and she sees it all the time, and she described it as overwhelming and really sad.
These are resting place for pelicans, for marine iguanas, for some of the other animals. And it is very sad to see some of these places full of plastic. We would like to recover all those plastic materials in order that we can recover those places for these marine iguanas and some other species.
So Karen, what problems is this build-up of plastic causing to the incredibly rich biodiversity that are on the Galapagos Islands?
First of all, there's the risk of entanglement or ingestion of large plastic for mammals and for reptiles, for these iconic Galapagos species, for the sea lions, for the marine turtles, and for the giant tortoises, which you find on the islands and that are also not found anywhere else on the planet. And you can see just from where I was with the fishing line hanging down from the mangrove roots, that it's very easy for animals to get entangled up in this plastic. A study recently showed that Santa Cruz tortoises have got plastic in their stomachs. They eat plastic, they mistake it for food. But then when it breaks down into microplastics, these microplastics, which are ubiquitous, they can be toxic in themselves and they can cause genetic problems if they're ingested.
Where's all this plastic coming from?
There are various kind of analysis being done on where the plastic's coming from. It's actually depending on the studies. Some studies say 13%. Some studies have a much greater proportion, up to 40% of this plastic pollution is coming from marine sources. So the Galapagos Islands is incredibly rich in biodiversity and that attracts shipping fleets. And some of these international shipping fleets are just basically illegally chucking their plastic bottles over the side. As a tourist, you won't see an awful lot of plastic because of this massive campaign by the Marine Reserve, by the National Park authorities and by volunteers to clean up the beaches whenever plastic arrives from outside. And I spoke to Nicholas Moiti. He's a marine ecologist at the Charles Darwin Foundation on Santa Cruz. And he told me about the currents that bring life to the Galapagos and how plastic is kind of affecting the animals here.
A lot of plastic is coming from the American coastline and the countries, and especially South American countries. But also we have a lot of things coming from the international fishing fleet, which is fishing in the international waters around the Galapagos. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we see a lot of Asian stickers, which indicate that the big fishing Asian fleet is also bringing much of the plastic. And actually, what I'm seeing is plastic everywhere, but there are some places where plastic accumulates, and in very little time. So you clean up everything in that those places, you come back 3 days later, and it's the same.
Karen, from what you've described, people on the islands are trying to clean up the plastic. But to be honest, it sounds a bit like Sisyphus carrying the rock up the hill, you know. Even if they clear it up, it's going to be coming back on these currents. I mean, it must be a massive undertaking. How sustainable is this approach, really?
The park authorities told me that it was a constant task. It was like, you know, just as you said, a Sisyphean task. And last year they collected 13 million tons and they kind of ship it back to Guayaquil on the mainland to go to recycling or, you know, be otherwise disposed of. But in some of the islands that are more difficult to get to, and there's a number of islands on the Galapagos, it can cost up to $2,000 and it can take 15 days to get there. It's very difficult in the winter months. So it's a kind of almost impossible task, but they feel that they have to keep doing it. Each person that I spoke to talked to me about, you know, what they want at national and international and global level to try and stop this plastic coming to their islands.
We wanted to do more, but there is no way that we can, because there are some other power that have to happen, and, you know, on the higher level and political level, mm-hmm. where, you know, the leader of the countries needs to also work together on the region and globally to stop this problem. Mm-hmm. And definitely has to be an agreement, international agreement, and I hope the plastic treaty that will be signed soon.
The Global Plastic Treaty is coming at a time when scientists are fully getting to grips with the impact of our plastic habit, not just on the environment, but also on our health. Plastic production workers are at an increased risk of a range of diseases, including leukemia and brain cancer. Recent studies have found microplastics in every human placenta and all arteries tested. And last month, researchers published a list of 16,000 chemicals associated with plastics, of which 4,200 were found to be at least hazardous. This week's negotiations in Ottawa are the fourth and penultimate stage in a worldwide effort to bring in a legally binding instrument to tackle plastics from production to pollution. Karen.
Last year, the negotiations stalled when oil-producing nations, including Saudi Arabia, Russia, and Iran, they insisted on focusing on waste management. So kind of once the plastic has already been produced and released, rather than measures to stop production of plastics altogether. So it's still at that stage. But there are a so-called high ambition coalition, which includes kind of Canada, the EU, Norway, and the United Arab Emirates. And they have called for binding cuts and cuts to production. I spoke to Luis Vallas Valdivieso, who is the Ecuadorian ambassador to the UK, and he is chairing the treaty talks. And he basically said to me, well, we have these crises, we've got the biodiversity loss crisis, we've got the climate crisis, and we have this crisis of pollution. We have agreements to work on the first of these two, but we haven't yet got an agreement to deal with plastic pollution. And the head of the United Nations Environment Programme called the Plastics Treaty the most important treaty, multilateral environment treaty, since the Paris Climate Agreement in 2015. So it is considered by the UN, by countries, by delegates to be an incredibly important treaty, which hopefully begins to kind of trickle down and properly address plastic pollution.
One ambitious proposal on the table in Ottawa is a pact to reduce plastic production by 40% in 15 years. The final text won't be agreed until the end of this year in Busan, South Korea. but getting an agreement over the finishing line could be a challenging task. According to analysis from the Centre for International Environmental Law, in Ottawa, fossil fuel and petrochemical lobbyists outnumbered scientists and EU and Indigenous delegates. But while plastics remain an important part of our lives and many economies, governments are also increasingly recognising the costs. And finally, Karen, I just want to take you back to the Galapagos Islands. This is somewhere that 200 years ago, Charles Darwin arrived and found this beautiful place full of incredible creatures, and very, very quickly, we're transforming it. Do you think we're going to be able to stem the tide of plastic quickly enough?
I mean, that's a multi-million dollar question. I don't think that we are going as fast as we would like. Most people feel quite helpless about plastic pollution. But, you know, you have the example where last year the UK businesses were not allowed to sell or supply plastic cutlery. You have single-use plastic bans all over the world. You have countries like Kenya that have had plastic bag bans in place for a long time. You know, the Galapagos Islands bans, no tourists are allowed to take any plastic into the Galapagos. Individual countries are doing things to try and get on top of the problem. So these things do make a difference. People don't want plastic, and people have said no to plastic, but it keeps being produced. So this is a chance. The treaty itself, if it's signed next year, it won't come into force for another 4 to 5 years, but it's a start, and it would make a difference to people who are, and give hope to people who are like islanders on the Galapagos and the islanders elsewhere, that their efforts aren't in vain.
A big thanks to Karen McVeigh. You can find the Seascape series and all our reporting on the Global Plastic Treaty on theguardian.com. And that's it for today. This episode was produced by me, Madeline Finley, and Holly Fisher. It was sound designed by Tony Onochuku, and the executive producer is Ellie Bury. We'll be back on Thursday. See you then.
This is The Guardian.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination. YahooFinance.com.